Hello, this is Kevin Doherty, your host for the Just Thinking podcast. I'm also the chief marketing officer for NeuroPoints. Today, I have two really special guests. I know I say that a lot, but these are really, really special guests, people that I've known for a long time, part of an organization that I was part of as an educator and have been partnering with for 25 years in the various roles that I've played supporting educators. But I'm not going to tell you more about them. I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. So, Terry, we'll start with you, and then we'll move this way to Debbie. So, okay. Terry?
My name is Terry Iles. I have been in education for 44 years.
Wow.
This is starting my 45th year in education. I've served in all capacities at the elementary level as a principal, as a executive director for teaching and learning, and now am a consultant, a senior consultant for Learning Forward Texas and Jim Shipley and Associates. So I did get an opportunity in my first retirement to serve as executive director for Learning Forward Texas, a real joy.
Yeah.
So,
great.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting a friend to
help. That's right.
Share the wealth. Yes.
Great. Well, I am Debbie Tanton. I am currently serving as director of business operations for Learning Forward Texas. Mm-hmm. Just retired from a 30-year career with one school district just east of Dallas, Mesquite ISD, where I served as a teacher, an instructional coach, a principal, and then lastly in the professional learning department. And so throughout my career, professional learning has been my favorite part of every role. Love teachers, love advocating for their learning. And so thrilled to be here today with you both.
I'm just so glad you both are here. I know we've been working for a while to get this scheduled. So the moment is now.
Yes.
You started to touch on your why a little bit, but let's take that a little bit deeper. So why be part of this particular podcast? What's your reason for having this conversation today?
Well, Terry? My first why was because a very dear friend asked me to do it and has been on me to be a part of this.
Yes.
But second to that is the fact that when you have been in education as long as I have and love educators and children as much as I do, that passion, you want to be able to continue to share your beliefs about education. And I have grandkids and great-grandkids now that I want them to have the very best educator standing in front of them each and every day. Mm. And so anything I can do that might impact somebody's teaching and learning and the skills that they have is important to me.
Love that. Thank you, Terry. Debbie?
I would say my why is very similar in that I have a passion for supporting teachers because I think they're doing the greatest work in the world.
Yes.
And so I want to spend my retirement years working toward helping them get what they need and continue to be successful with students. As the world changes and as their needs change, I think we need to, as leaders, really be sure that we're meeting those needs. And so professional learning is the way that we can do that, for sure.
I could not agree more. You know, having been a principal previously, professional learning was priority one.
Yeah.
Because I could buy stuff. I could do things to the facility. But I needed to work on giving more skills and shifting mindsets and that sort of thing. And professional learning was the only way to do that. And it had to be done with great people delivering the professional learning with really thoughtful content and staying committed to it on an ongoing basis, not just a one and done approach to professional learning. You mentioned, you know, times are changing and so forth, and we need to support teachers now more than ever. One of my thoughts is when we think about the future of education, so beyond today, this moment in time, why might fostering critical thinking in students be more important than ever? Is it?
I feel like it is extremely important. And the reason is because the world is changing so quickly. Yeah. And so they can access information easily. They can get it from anywhere. And with, you know, artificial intelligence and with, you know, there's not a lot of information that they need to actually memorize, in my opinion. And so being able to think critically and be able to discern between what's good information and what's not good information.
Right.
And so not everything that comes across our computer is valid or good information. And so kids have to be able to tell the difference between, you know, real and fake news.
Right. Debbie, you want to piggyback on that?
I think if adults could do that, we'd be in a lot better place, right? And so, gosh, it's more essential now than it ever has been. Yeah. The more information we have, the more we have to be able to discern what is right. And what is right for us may not be what is right for others. And so, gosh, if we're not teaching kids to do that and giving them opportunities to do that, we're really going to be in trouble in terms of our population. So it's just, I think it's more important now than ever.
As you're saying that, you know, what might be right for one, but not the other, makes me think of the various viewpoints that people bring to learning.
Sure.
And my undergraduate degree is in multicultural education. So that was 40 years ago, right? but just focusing on the fact that every learner brings a unique perspective, point of view, and experiential background to the learning. And what are we doing as educators to be able to discern that, to be able to hear and see and learn and understand what those various viewpoints are that our students are bringing to the learning? So in your experience, what are the biggest challenges that educators face when trying to move beyond surface level teaching to deeper, more critical thinking?
The challenges are enormous.
Okay.
The challenges are plentiful. The resource of time is always a factor. Teachers are given immense amounts of curriculum to cover, content, knowledge level content. To cover with students and are held accountable via standardized testing for that content.
Yes.
And so when being able to take the learning deeper and being able to see different viewpoints around the learning sometimes gets lost because of that lack of time. I also think that any curriculum that we're giving them needs to have that critical thinking piece embedded within it to be sure that it's happening.
Yes.
We say that we want teachers to deliver the content and the curriculum with fidelity, but we're not providing the resources for them to do that at a high level to allow the students to have the thinking involved to think critically about the learning. And so I think time is a huge barrier.
It's a resource that we have very little of most of the time, and that's sure. one that people don't usually focus on. But if you talk to teachers, and we do all the time, is that that's the thing that they want, is time and communication. And I would say that there's probably the resource of setting expectations and monitoring what you've asked them to do. And so a lot of times, you know, there's so much pressure on even administrators to do so many other things that they're not in the classroom and seeing what, and that's,
yes.
you know, makes it even more of a struggle because teachers are, you know, if nobody's in seeing it,
right.
then how do I know if I'm doing it right or not? And
sure.
so that ability to be able to, you know, grow as learning leaders in the classroom or grow as learning leaders at the school level, we don't focus a lot on that. And so they don't get an opportunity to practice. And when, you know, Deb said that about covering the content and tips, we always talk about, you know, the definition of to cover means to conceal or bury. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want our teachers concealing or burying the curriculum.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So
when you talk about the challenges at the leadership faces, putting out the fires and not being in the classroom and being those instructional leaders, I'm thinking of the importance of just the feedback, just listening, asking the questions. Hey, I noticed this when you were teaching this particular mm-hmm. part of the lesson. How did you feel about that? What are your thoughts? And just evoking from them some of what their thoughts. So part of the coaching is they have the answer themselves.
Yes.
They just need someone to help bring it out in them. But if you're not in the classroom, how do you have time to provide that support? And I'm thinking, Debbie, of what we talked about a little before we started this particular episode, and that is those new teachers. Mm. And you mentioned a statistic of nearly half teachers now not fully certified.
Correct.
In classrooms.
Correct.
So they're not coming with all of the certification, the background, and yet they have the same responsibility as someone who does. So would you speak to that just a little bit as well?
Absolutely. I think in 94, when I started teaching and I had a full student teaching experience, I was not prepared to run a classroom and to teach students.
Right.
Now we're looking at folks who come to us with a variety of experiences and wonderful life experiences, but over half of them in many districts are not coming to us with teacher certification. So not only are they not coming to us with a student's teaching experience,
right,
they're not coming to us with any education courses or anything, any instruction around the lesson cycle or any of those things that we got back in the day. Yet we're expecting of them the same that we're expecting from a 10-year veteran teacher. The science and the art of teaching are very complicated, such a complicated skill set. We're not giving them a chance to learn those skills or providing correct instruction that will get them to learn those skills, and having the patience to see the results of those skills being developed. I often compare learning to teach to learning to drive. And there's a reason that teenagers tend to get in a lot of car accidents. And it's because while their skills are not yet automated, they're not they're having to think about what they're doing all of the time and thinking about how they're delivering and how they're driving. They're not able to necessarily be defensive and look at what's going on around them. Beginning teachers, when you're in the beginning stages of learning the very complex skills involved in teaching, it's the same way. You're thinking about what you're saying. You're thinking about where you're standing, how you're wording questions. And we're expecting them to be completely in tune with the students at the same time and be able to respond to the formative assessment and change things up for all of the individual students in their classrooms, when it's really probably just not realistic to expect that at the beginning. Well, we know it's not realistic.
Wow.
So they're evaluated according to those same standards. They're given a laundry list of things they need to get better at without without enough support to help them get there, without anybody to show them how to get there. And they're seeing themselves as failures. So I see professional learning that's effective as being a way to not only recruit, but to retain teachers in the profession. I think if any of us had felt that degree of failure at the beginning, we wouldn't have made it through a long career. And so I think professional learning is the way, but it's got to be differentiated. And the veteran teachers do not need the same direct coaching and instruction that a beginning teacher needs. And so veteran teachers need to have opportunities to learn in the ways that they know will make their classrooms better. And, and they know what their students need and know where they need to improve and where they want to improve. If they're not given that choice, they're not going to buy into the learning. New teachers need that specific set of skills that get them into that art and science of teaching effectively, or they won't be successful. And so it's just got to look different for every teacher. And that's the challenge that we have as professional learning leaders. That's it's not easy, just like it's not easy to differentiate for students.
It's a big challenge. And I would imagine that the understanding of the need to address that comes at the highest level of the organization.
Absolutely.
The superintendent, but, you know, even members of
beyond,
right? Members of the community, the school board, and so forth. What about the role that your organization is playing in helping schools to shift that mindset and that approach to professional learning?
Okay. Well, Learning Forward Texas has kind of been a part of the andragogy, or the adult learning aspect or the landscape for a long time. We've been doing this 23, 25 years, and it's still, we update and we find new information about how the brain learns and how different learners, you know, receive information and take that and make it part of their daily practice. And so it's been a blessing and really thrilling to be able to stand in front of adults for so long and talk about, you know, this teaching and learning process and what does it look like for adults that might make it different for than for their students. So that's been critical, and we've been really diligent at Learning Forward Texas to make sure that we, you know, get the current information and find out what's going on. Because ours are practitioners. Everybody is a practitioner. They're in schools all the time. They, you know, are in districts across the state of Texas. And so we get, you know, so much information that we could then use to help guide the work that we do.
Absolutely. And you provide some free resources to people.
We do. We are a nonprofit organization. Okay. Our mission is to support professional learning throughout Texas in districts, charter schools, wherever, whoever will listen to us. And so we have a variety. We have a free newsletter on our website with blogs and great resources that those that design and facilitate professional learning. We're really about supporting those who support professional learning. So we are the professional learning for professional learning. teaching those that design and facilitate professional learning the best practices on working with adults. And so many of our resources are free.
Yes.
We stay going, and we stay able to provide resources by some of our paid learning opportunities. Our tips and tools for professional learning series is our biggest, our bread and butter, and it's all about designing and facilitating effective professional learning, but it's aligned to best practice.
Yes.
So like Terry said, we're very, very committed to modeling best practice treating adults like adults in their learning and making sure they're getting what they need and what they want.
I love that. And you have an annual conference. That's of course, great. I was there representing NeuroPoints this year, and also had the great fortune to lead a breakout session on podcasting, of all things, which there's great interest out there in our schools and districts. But an amazing conference, always one of my favorite conferences to attend. You want to speak to the conference a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah.
Our conference is, we usually have about 300 people that attend. We have people from all over the Texas, and we even had some people from Florida and New Mexico this year. That are working with professional learning in one area or another. And so it's a lot of campus leaders, district leaders, because really there's way beyond the professional learning departments in our districts. Many, many people are involved in designing and facilitating professional learning. So we have lots of campus leaders, district leaders, instructional coaches are a big part of our membership because coaching is such an important part of professional learning. And so we have lots of local district folks that come and share their best practices and the good things going on in their districts. And then we bring in some big names as well. We had Jim Knight and Thomas Van Seelen recently this year. And then that's another time that we roll out our workshops that we provide from Learning Forward Texas. So we have our tips and tools one and our tips and tools for teams that we offer during that time as well. So anything about it, Terry?
It's a great conference. It is just so, we always say at Learning Forward Texas, we're a family because we're such good friends and best of friends. And so, you know, and what a network. You know, I never wonder if somebody asks me a question in another state about something, I'll say I'll get with my family and find out because I just put it out there and I get lots of answers. So
I love it.
It's a great network.
Yeah.
Time to.
My favorite comment from this year's conference, we look really closely at the feedback from our participants. And my favorite comment was, it's very clear that this conference is put on by professional learning people, which just made my heart happy.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And so that made me feel like, oh, we're doing a good job. If they can tell professional learning people, put on this conference.
And you're building community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that.
And post-pandemic, that's one of the things that we struggled mightily with in education was that we came back from a time when we maybe were doing things up to when we shut down in professional learning or in building community or those kinds of things. And even if we were doing it well, when we came back, we weren't allowed to go back to that. And so we've really struggled to get back to the place we were before.
Right.
And we got kids that came that were behind in skills, but we didn't train our teachers or work with our teachers. So if I was a really good fourth grade teacher before the pandemic, the kids that I got in fourth grade now are no longer fourth grade skill level. And we didn't change any of that. Mm. So now they're trying to teach the way they taught fourth grade before, but yet they really probably need some second and third grade skills to be able to build that learning progression as Don was talking with us about. So I think that's been a real struggle for us. And we're just starting to get our footing in education to try and figure that out.
Well, and a lot has changed post-pandemic because during the pandemic, you heard whispers of AI, but now we're fully in the AI era, right? So I want to bring it back to critical thinking again. And how can we help teachers shift from delivering content to designing learning experiences that make students question, analyze, allow them to create? How can professional learning facilitate that shift for teachers? Can it?
I think our professional learning for adults needs to look that way.
Okay.
I think we need to start by asking teachers what they need.
Okay.
Asking them what would help with their students. What kind of skills could they build that would help and provide and find resources to help them with that. But I think also during the professional learning, giving them lots of time to and lots of some facilitated processes where they're talking with each other and sharing ideas and looking at something and thinking critically about it as it applies to their work.
Yeah.
I think if they're not doing that, then they're not going to be able to teach that.
Well, and I think that, you know, one of the things we talk a lot about is the fact that, you know, structured conversations or protocols are important for teachers to grow as learners. Mm-hmm. And so being sure that people have protocols that they could use. Mm-hmm. But also, the PLCs are, when run well, mm-hmm. are incredible learning experiences, because now I'm with colleagues that have varied degrees of you know, experience, and we can talk about data, we can talk about what's working, what's mm-hmm. not working, mm-hmm. what questions are we asking, we can calibrate student work. All of those things are quality professional learning. Right. So a PLC is a job embedded, for sure, professional learning experience. And but again, because of time, a lot of schools are not partaking in that.
Right. We just need to make the time.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I think about, I have a daughter that's a teacher, gone back to teaching after 2 years away from it. And during the pandemic, they went fully online. You remember mm-hmm. that time. And she had to teach the curriculum and cover what needed to be covered. And they were more lockstep because everything was being monitored and so forth. And it was second grade. And she said, I asked her the question, what are you doing to build relationship and rapport with your students? Because I believe it's ever more critical now that you're doing this virtually. And her response was, I don't have time for that. It's not that she didn't want to have time, but she was being held accountable to this lockstep schedule mm-hmm. for covering the curriculum, if you will. And my advice at that time was, be a little bit of a rebel, because if you don't build a relationship, you ain't getting to relevance or rigor. Mm-hmm. So you've got to build the relationship first. It's the foundation on which all learning takes place. So so making the time for that. So I'm just wondering, when you're working with teachers and principals and central office staff, you know, to not make them be, you know, big time rebels and just totally upsetting the apple cart, if you will, but maybe challenging a little bit, because if we're asking, what do you need? Well, I need some time to be able to reflect on this. I need time to be able to plan for this. Thoughts on that, experiences with that.
Gosh, the first thing I think is that if we ask them that and we ask them what they need,
yes.
we better make sure that we give it to them.
Great. Yes.
And so we say we need more time, and we all know we need more time. We know teachers need more time, administrators need more time. Everybody needs more time to be able to get it done.
Yes.
The system needs to change in a way that provides that time.
Yes.
Teachers don't have the power to make more time for themselves.
Yeah. Right.
You know, they just don't have, that's not within their job title. They're not able to do that. And they're all giving way more time than they should.
Sure.
To do in a, to, for it to be sustainable.
Yes.
And so I think we've got to think about how we can help and then get their input, right? I think it's important to ask them what they need and ask them what they want,
yes.
but we've got to be ready to make changes
Absolutely.
At the system level to be able to make that happen. And I think that's where we get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, the big decisions that would make them have more time, you know, whether it be shortening the school day, not advocating for that. I'm just saying if I, you know, right. making more time in the day, if we've got to get creative and think outside of the box, that might be where folks are not ready to go and right. not willing to go, where the system yeah. won't let us go.
Well, and I think that, you know, we, at the heart of what we do at Learning Forward Texas, obviously, is, and anybody that knows me knows that the NESTA process is the mental model that I live and breathe. So it is, mm-hmm. and being able to help people to understand that mental model and teaching teachers that, you know, that relationship piece or your context and conditions piece is yeah. critical if you're ever going to get anybody to, any of your students to engage in the content. And so, we talk often about the fact that we as educators plan from the inside out. So we plan at content, talk about what processes will we use, and then what conditions do we need to make that work in our classroom? What are the relationships going to look like? What are the,
right.
but kids experience it in the exact opposite way. And so if we're not building that, they're never going to engage mm-hmm. in our content. And today's kids is even more so. So I think just teaching people about, you know, the NESTA process and helping them to understand, you know, if I don't make time for that relationship piece or building my family as a community in this classroom, then I'm never going to get the content where I need it to be.
NESTA process. For anyone who may not be familiar with the NESTA process, speak a little bit more specifically about what it is.
Well, it's a framework for, we call it a framework for teaching and learning, but it starts with your content, what you want kids to know and be able to do, which we've also lost some of that. We say no, but we forget there's an be able to do part. You know, what is the outcome going to look like? And then sitting outside of that box is your process box or your the things that you're going to use to help teach that. And you have to chunk it and chew it to be able to get it down to meaningful chunks for kids to be able to absorb it. And especially now, and with kids' attention spans shorter, then you're looking at maybe at, for a high school level student, 10, 12 minutes at the max that they could pay attention before they need to do something with the information. And then sitting the largest box is your conditions for success or your context. And that's, you know, what are your beliefs about the kids? What are your expectations? Are they clear to people? Are they, you know, or am I making sure that when a student walks through my door that they know that I care about them, that I'm going to help them get to where they need to be, that, you know, there's just so many components of that. What are my standards? Do I have, you know, quality standards for the outcome of the work? Those kinds of things. And that part is important. And it's established right at the beginning of school and carried throughout the year. So no matter what content you're delivering, what processes you're using, you have that,
yes,
you know, with you.
Wow. That's a very powerful framework. I love that. So as we reflect on that, what role does reflection, both for educators and students, play in developing critical thinking and just teaching and learning overall?
Reflection is what takes the learning and puts it into practice. So speaking about professional learning specifically, if we want somebody to learn how to design and facilitate professional learning in a way that aligns with best practices, they have to reflect on what the knowledge we've given them about adult learners and think about and talk about and write about and plan for what that looks like within their own work.
Right.
Right. And so often that's left out. I think that's left out of lessons. Well, we know that's left out of lessons with students as well.
Yeah.
If that reflection piece, so what does this learning mean for me? How do I apply this? If that gets left out, and that's what's often left out due to time. Sometimes we leave that for the end. We don't plan for it throughout. Right. And we leave it for the end. It gets left out due to time. Then nothing goes into practice. Nothing changes. We've all been through professional learning sessions where we're like, oh, that was such a great workshop. And we've got our handouts and we're ready and it stays in a stack because we didn't spend any time during that session. We do it during the session, looking through what you've learned and how you might apply it.
Yes.
You know, how can I use this tomorrow? What can I do now?
Yes.
And learning in the classroom is the same way with students. And so we've got to model that. And then we've also, when we're teaching adults about reflection, letting them know why we're having them reflect, you know, and what does that mean for your classroom, right?
Love that.
Yeah, because reflection in your classroom goes before the lesson, during the lesson, after the lesson. And so that's what we talk about with professional learning. You're reflecting on what do you need to deliver? You know, what does that look like? Then during the lesson, you're paying attention to, you know, are there things you need to hit a little harder? Are there things that this group needs a little more of or less of? And let's pull back that. And then after, as trainers, we always, you know, get in the car and talk all the way home on, you know, what do we change or what is something that looks different? Yeah. And so that kind of reflection needs to happen in the classroom. And then the other part is that I think the administrators at the building level, so many times we're leading professional learning in districts and the leader's not there. And so as a leader, how do I know what to expect or to look for in a classroom so that implementation part can go forward? You know, that we're, and I think that's part of the professional learning right now that everybody struggles with is that they don't see it implemented. Well, it's because they didn't have a plan for implementation.
That's huge.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. So what is it going to look like differently in a classroom, you know, next week and 2 weeks and 3 weeks? What changes will I see? What will the kids be saying? What will the teacher be doing? Those kinds of things moving forward. And we don't give that any thought at all most of the time.
Right. It's a whole system.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And the leader is involved in that system.
Such a critical role. Mm-hmm. And what are we doing to prepare those leaders?
Right.
And not only prepare them, but support them
Sure.
when they're in those roles.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast.
That's another podcast. Okay, we'll save that for the next episode.
Because that is a huge
one. We have a lot to say about that.
Well, on that note, our time's about up for this particular episode, but because the podcast is called Just Thinking, is there anything else about which you're just thinking that I did not give you the opportunity to address? So you all get the last word. What are you just thinking?
As we've been talking, I've been thinking about Learning Forward Texas and the customers that we serve, the districts that do some work with us and the districts that have yet to do work with us that maybe don't know about us yet and haven't reached out to our resources. How do we find out what they need? Mm. You know, what's the best way to find out what they want, what they need, what their particular district needs? How do we tailor what we provide to be sure that we're meeting those needs? And so that's what I'm rolling around in my head now. And I would love anyone out there who would like to provide some ideas for that. We'd love to hear it.
Hopefully there'll be many people that will be watching and listening that will provide that information. Yes. Terry, anything else?
Oh, I'm just thinking about the fact that, you know, we are so blessed to be able to be in this profession and that we have people that continually come to this profession and love kids. And in the future is, you know, whether it be no matter what student across the country, we want all of them to have quality education and be able to step away and be successful, whether it be in, you know, whether they go to college, which fewer and fewer are going to college, mm-hmm. and or they have a profession that they, a passion that they want. And in the absence of thinking, mm-hmm. you can't discover your passion. Mm. So that passion is important for them to be able to grow as learners. And so, you know, I just think that that's something that we as educators need to stir the pot a little bit.
Absolutely.
Perfect note on which to end. Thank you all for being part of Just Thinking.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. I enjoyed it.
It was awesome.